Well, good morning, everyone. Let's read, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 14 to 19. Paul says in verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this passage and as we turn our focus in this middle ground between two series in our teaching and preaching, to focus on who we are as Rooted Community Church. Lord, I pray that you would guide me in the words and the method, even the very tone of my voice. That you would use me, that I would be a vehicle for your purposes in our life, in our community, in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to paint a picture for you. I want to paint a picture of a community of faith, a church, a gathering of people that believe in Jesus, that call themselves Christians. Imagine being part of a group that is fully committed and invested with a relationship with Jesus, based upon the Word of God, recognizing that being the final authority and guide in all things that creates this community of faith. And recognize that they are all fully and completely dependent upon prayer to God and the Holy Spirit's work among them and desiring to be filled with that Spirit. Imagine that same group that is committed to seeking the lost because they love the lost, no matter where they are found, where they are at, those that don't know Jesus, and recognize the situation, the judgment, the condemnation, the corruption of sin in their lives, and long to see them come to know who Jesus is. But the love doesn't stop there. It also includes those people that maybe have not been to church, have not been part of a community for many years, trying to reconnect them back to that community of faith because it is so important and so vital. And because we, as members of this group that I'm imagining here, are so in love with one another and so in love with God and so in love with Jesus that we want others to join and share in that. And then even there might be those among us that might stray away. We pursue them unabashedly, longing to bring them back among us. This is a community that doesn't have its problems, though, because we're still sinful people. And so there's conflicts in relationships. And so, but we're so committed to one another that we're willing to pursue, to fight for that relationship with everything in us, willing to do the hard things, to admit when we're wrong, to be willing to be held accountable, not as like a dirty word, like you're going to be condemned, but rather accountability built biblically to restore people, restore and heal relationships. And then this all would require that these people would be committed to authenticity, knowing they're accepted wherever they are in their walk, in their journey, whether they don't even know Jesus, to whether they've known Jesus for years, but wherever they are at in their faith walk, that they're accepted with their mistakes, their foibles, and they have other people within that group that they can truly open up to and share and know that in spite of those things, they are still loved. A church that is committed to living out the Great Commission to make disciples of one another and others in this world. Can you imagine that? As I paint that picture, that idea of a community of faith that looks and feels like that, where you know when you walk in the door, you're accepted, you're loved. People are excited to see you. Can you imagine something like that? Now, I know that when it comes to talking about the church, I may leave out something that you want in there because the church is a very personal thing for most of us. Things that we like, don't like. But it has to start somewhere. And that's the image that I have, the vision that I have for us at Rooted. And I believe it is exactly what Paul is describing in this passage here in Ephesians chapter 14. I want you to go back to verse 14 where Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." I want you to notice that that is highly unusual phrase there, that he is kneeling before the Father. You know, in Jewish culture, kneeling is not a common way, posture for prayer. Were you aware of that? Who said no? Jack, okay. So, there are a few occasions in the Bible where it's referred to where someone knelt. Jesus knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane. You have this account where Paul is kneeling. There are a few accounts in the Old Testament where you have people that are kneeling. Every time you see that in the Bible, it is something extraordinary. Because Jewish custom, if you can imagine this, if you've any seen pictures of the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem where Jewish men and women are standing before, they're standing, you kind of see them rocking back and forth as they pray. That is the most common posture in Jewish culture to pray. When they go to their knees, it means something significant is going on. And what is going on here for Paul? When he says, "For this reason I kneel." What's the reason? It's everything that he said up to this point is the reason. But I'm going to capture it in verse 6, chapter 3, where Paul says, "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus." The church in Ephesus is a primarily Gentile, non-Jewish community of faith. And the book begins there in chapter 1 with this beautiful description of what has been accomplished for those who have faith in Jesus, that we are fully and completely justified because of what Jesus has done. And because of that, the two have become one, the two groups have become this single race now, Jew and Gentile being brought together because of the love of Jesus. And all of this brings Paul to this point of exaltation. He is filled with emotion. There is emotion throughout these verses. In fact, he kind of goes in verse 20 with a beautiful description of praise and worship. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Feel the emotion as Paul is penning this passage and what he is describing in verse 14 and 19 includes that passion, that exaltation. He is kneeling before the Father. He may be kneeling as he writes this into his paper that he's using, that is called something, I can't remember what it is now off the top of my head, but as he writes this, probably is kneeling, and he's recognizing that the Father is the one that has created all things. That's that phrase there, in heaven on earth derives its name. Everything comes from the Father. And he is overwhelmed with the understanding of who God is and how deeply God loves us. And he wants us to be filled with that love. He says in verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul has talked much about the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You can go to Galatians passage, the fruit of the Spirit. And Titus is correct, the fruit of the Spirit. And he talks about allowing the Spirit to fill us. This phrase is another similar phrase that Paul's referring to here, because it's the Holy Spirit that he asked for. Notice, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Through his what? Through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So he's describing what I would call is an outpouring, a filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about a second filling. I'm talking about being filled. And a time when the Holy Spirit comes down and moves in extraordinary ways in our lives. I often refer to that as revival, where there is something extraordinary happening. And I would argue, in fact, that the church cannot exist without those special moments in history where God pours out his Spirit to restore and bring healing and refocus to his primary instrument of reaching the world through outpourings of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that is what Paul is asking for and praying for, that God would do this in his church. Now, I only have 2 points, by the way. Short message? Who knows? Notice the and. That is chi in Greek. The and there. So hearts through faith, middle of verse 17, and. This is the second point. I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all God's holy people. I'm going to stop there. First of all, notice the two phrases used, being rooted and established. One of the things we're doing on this particular Sunday, and Tyler asked me to take this particular message, is understanding who we are. Why do we call ourselves rooted? Where does that even come from? Well, it comes from this passage and also a passage in Colossians. The term rooted is not used frequently in the Bible. It is unique, and Paul is using it in a unique way here, where he wants us to recognize that we are rooted in the strength and power of God through his Spirit and by faith. We are rooted there, and those roots continue to grow deeply into the ground, into the Spirit itself, so that we are sustained and built up. And grow. Can a tree exist without its roots? No, it can't. It has to be rooted. And that's the idea that Paul has in mind here. But what it is rooted into is very critical. And for us, we want to be rooted into the Spirit of God through his Word, dependent on prayer, committed fully to a living, active relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where Paul is encouraging the church in Ephesus to be. And we want to be as well. The other term he uses, established, and that's actually more of a construction term. Anybody have any construction going on around their house right now? A few of you? Yeah. Did they have to dig a big, deep hole? and it looks kind of ugly, right? You know, it just looks like an open sore on the earth. When they dig that hole and they put down the footings first, the poor concrete footings. Sometimes that includes putting some steel in there. And then they start building up the walls of foundation there that the house is actually going to be sitting on. And it never looks very good at that point. But unless you have a good footings and good foundation, what's going to happen to everything else that is above that? It's going to start to crumble and fall. And that's the idea here that Paul has in mind, that foundation. Should we pause? That foundation, you must have a foundation that is based in God, in His Spirit, and committed to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're just simply a club. We have nothing to bring us together other than maybe what happens to be things that we hold in common. Personality traits, hobbies. That's what it all comes down to. I can tell you that my background is significantly different than most of your backgrounds, probably. There's probably some similarities to it. But I can tell you that the only reason I'm here is because of Jesus. And I hope that's why you're here. Now, can you find some people in this group that you have greater affinity for and appreciation of and develop maybe a closer relationship because you have some common things that you share together, whether it's life experiences or you love to play video games together, whatever that is. If we are not rooted in Jesus and the authority of God's Word, and committed to prayer, believing the Holy Spirit must work among us, we are just a club. And Paul doesn't want the Church of Ephesus to be a club. Paul wants the Church of Ephesus to be a church that impacts the world, their community, their friends, their neighbors, in a way that is transformative. Notice what he asks. He says, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people. He's talking about the church there. First of all, notice that he calls us holy. He calls the Church of Ephesus holy. He calls us holy. Anybody here sinless? You are? You're sinless? I know you misunderstood. I know you misunderstood. No, I know you misunderstood. No one here is sinless. So how can we be called holy? We are set apart for a different purpose than the rest of the world. We live our lives to know who Jesus is and to follow His example. That makes us different. That sets us apart. And that's what Paul is referring to. But we need one another to do that. Did you know that one of the things that he is saying here is that you cannot be rooted in Jesus without also being connected to other believers? He wants us through this experience of being a community of followers of Jesus together to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Notice he's covering every dimension here. You know, everything, everywhere. It's unlimited depth. It's an eternal depth. It's an infinite depth. It's an infinite width. Everything. And he's saying here that we need to be connected, rooted into who Jesus is through the Holy Spirit and with one another so that we can know the full breadth, width, height, and depth of Christ's love. Did you know you cannot know that apart from one another? Here's what he's saying. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Notice that, surpasses knowledge. What is Paul saying here? He is talking about the experience of being loved and loving others in a way that represents who Jesus is and that has no limit to it, that is not restricted because you don't fit a mold or something, but everyone is loved and you're accepted where you are at. Not that you would remain there, but through that love and that experience in community, you are moved and inspired to move and grow more into Christ. So that it starts to perpetuate itself by the Holy Spirit, that we see God move through us in ways that he says in verse 20 and on, that are beyond our comprehension, that we have not even dreamed of. I painted a picture of a community of faith like this. That's in my imagination. That's not what God's imagination is. God's imagination of what Paul is referring to there in verses 20 to 21, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Notice that. God can do that. But it does require some things of us. He's talking about a lifestyle of following Jesus that permeates every part of who we are. It does require some willingness to do those things that I mentioned earlier, to fight for relationship. If you've been offended, are you willing to go to that person and seek to make it right? Maybe to understand that maybe you misunderstood, or maybe they didn't mean it that way. But just to have that conversation so that that relationship is restored. That's what the love of Christ would motivate us to do. Are you willing to be authentic? Are you willing to be who you are, to share openly? Now, I'm not saying come up here and, you know, air your dirty laundry to the whole world. That would not be appropriate. But having one or two people in the community of faith that you are connected to and accountable to, and you can share whatever is going on in your life authentically and know that you're still loved. Are you willing to love someone like that and not be shocked if they shared something with you, but still love them, be gracious towards them, and want to come alongside them? That's what it means to fight for relationship. That's what it means to be rooted in who Jesus is. Thanks. I forgot all about these. Can you go back to the first one? This is the last one, last slide. Faith. These are on our website. And this is intended to be identify who we are, that we are rooted in Christ. We are led, guided by the Word of God. It is the Word of God that helps us know who Christ is. We would not know who Jesus is if it wasn't for the Word of God. And we recognize the Word of God to have authority in our lives. And we're dependent on prayer. The next statement. Mission. This is what the Great Commission. We are called to reach the lost. We're called to connect people that are not connected and to chase strays. That's what Jesus did when he goes after the lost sheep. He leaves the other 99 to pursue the one. That's the heart of Jesus. That's what it means to be rooted in Jesus and to love Jesus. The last slide. And this defines our culture. Fight for relationship. Embrace authenticity and commit to disciple making. That is who we want to be. Are you willing to be that? Because it starts, anything organic starts with the individual saying, yeah, I'm committed to that. I want to follow that. I want to pursue that myself. Are you willing to be authentic? I've shared some pretty personal stories most times when I've been up here to preach on a Sunday. I've shared some pretty personal stories in life groups as well. And I can tell you, I've got my problems. Ask Lynn. You know, and Lynn and I don't have a perfect marriage. We don't. Maybe you thought so. But we don't. We have our conflicts. We had a conflict this morning. You know, it happens. Marriages, are you willing to be authentic about that? I can tell you, if you're married, you've had a conflict. I'm a counselor. I know this. If you're married, you've had some sort of an argument or conflict at some point. How about parenting? Are you willing to be authentic? Maybe you feel like you're a failure as a parent. I screwed up as a parent a lot of times. I can remember specific times because I regret them deeply. You willing to be authentic about that? I'm going to say, hey, I need help in being a parent. I don't know everything. Does anyone have an instruction booklet for parenting? I never saw it. The only instruction booklet I had was my parents, and they weren't perfect either. Are you willing to be authentic about those things in your life? Finances, often held very close to the chest and privately. Well, now you know I'm being paid. Are you willing to look for help if you're struggling? Pursue that financially. There's a lot of personal stuff in there that reflects things about who you are. Are you willing to be that authentic and real? Because it's in that, in culture, that the Holy Spirit has freedom unreservedly to work in and through us.
God, thank you that it is your love that has breathed life into Rooted Community Church. Guide us as we continue to learn and to lean into what that means, to be your hands and feet in this particular place, in this particular time, that we would draw people not to ourselves, but ultimately to worship of you. Thank you for this calling and this mission, and then the strength that you have given us. Amen.